The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, Bahamas, and a special good morning to Elkin 360, who's reflected the true spirit of the Bahamas. What a song. I even have to say good morning to my friend Shine, who comes in at second place for the on-the-clock independent song with My Bahamas. What a hit. And I want to say this. I don't know if this would have been possible without Priscilla Rollins's Independence Morning, It's Like a Baby Born In, right? Because it took a couple of generations of us, right, to live with the song and experience the song, to realize how important the song and the moment was. But that prepared us, right? It enabled us to see within Elkin, right, the talent, the spirit of the Bahamas. And so every day we thank our ancestors. We thank those who came before us for what they have contributed to the development of the Bahamas. And we pick up the mantle and we continue the race. We continue the journey from 50 to forever. Well, good morning. It's Friday, the 7th of July, 2023. That means it's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III, but I have to tell you, I am compelled. I got some sports news here, but we got to talk independence, Bahamas. We have to talk independence. So let's get started. I got to read for you from the Independence Secretariat. On Monday, July the 10th, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas will turn 50 years old. The National Independence Secretariat invited the entire Bahamas and guests from around the world to join in the celebrations. July 7th is National Pride Day and the Independence Gala. July 8th is the Golden Soiree. Party like it's 1973. On July 9th, all roads lead to Clifford Park for the Golden Jubilee, an ecumenical service, a military tattoo, and a cultural show. Vendors open at 4 and the show begins at 5 p.m. After the fireworks at midnight, head down to Bay Street for the start of the People's Rush Junkanoo Parade, beginning at 2 a.m. Then it's back to Clifford Park on July 10th for a family fun day. Vendors open at 3 and the cultural show starts at 5 p.m. For more information on these and other Golden Jubilee events, visit celebrate-bahamas.com or visit Celebrate Bahamas on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And a read from the Central Bank of the Bahamas. This Friday, that's today the 7th, and Saturday, tomorrow the 8th, Central Bank representatives will be giving out sand dollars at Super Value Blue Hill Road. Show your sand dollar enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in sand dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. This offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show us their sand dollar enabled wallet at each location. One top up per person so as many people as possible can experience the sand dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. Now for the on-the-clock Sand Dollar giveaways. Every day for the next 3 months, we will be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners can receive $30 in Sand Dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address or custom name to transfer the funds to your wallet if you get the right answer. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once. And since the Bahama Games start today, competition starts today, we have got a trivia question on the table. Name two of the 10 teams competing in the Bahama Games. Name two of the 10 teams competing in the Bahama Games. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. That's for our residents in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence. It is a toll-free number. So I was tuning in a little bit to the conversation on Morning Blend this morning as I was getting ready to come to the station. And I want to talk sports, but I got to talk independence. Now, if you want to talk sports, call in. We could talk sports, but I got someone joining me in studio today. I asked Mr. Strawn, Dwight Strawn, to sit back with me and let's continue this conversation because it was exciting. I got excited about it, and these are the types of conversations I think we should be having every day, but particularly on the road to 50. So, Mr. Strawn, good morning.
Mr. Strawn?
Yeah. Dwight, good morning.
Right, that's better.
There you go. So, I see what you put on the table. Mm-hmm. I want to raise you. This is what I think we have to consider before we can begin planning the next 50 years mm-hmm. of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's one thing on the table. I think, well, there's one thing, a question and a comment, Bahamian style. I think we have more dollars than cents. Mm-hmm. I think we have more dollars than sense of self. I think we have more dollars than sense of place. I think we have more dollars than sense of direction. And I think we have more dollars than sense of the world that we live in. And I think that's been plaguing us.
Yeah.
I think this is something that I heard older people say to me, to us, to our generation, when we were far too young to understand it. Because, and I think partially because of the way that it was said, it was sort of thrown at us like a lesson, like take this lesson, which is that you could move too quickly, that you could develop too quickly, right? Mm-hmm. I heard older people tell us that when we were younger. And sometimes it came like this, like you cannot, remember when they told us, as young people, when we start dating, when we start developing interests in other young people, we start by holding hands. Mm-hmm. When you move from that stage of holding hands to kissing, it's important to remember that you can't just go back to holding hands.
Right.
Right? Like you can't just say, hey, I don't want to kiss anymore. I just want us to hold hands. Mm-hmm. You're going to disrupt, right? The whole thing is going to be over. And that was a sort of a safe sex lesson they used to give us. But in the same way, older people would say all the time, you don't want to move too fast. You could develop too quickly. Mm-hmm. And I, as an older Bahamian now, I realize that's exactly what happened to us.
We developed too quickly?
Yeah. Hmm. I think that, and this is what I mean. Leon Williams had a clip that Lester Cox took from a conversation Leon Williams had on his show. Mm-hmm. And Leon Williams essentially accuses the state of dragging the past into the future, which is similar to your response just now, to question whether we're developing too quickly, mm-hmm. right? He said, the governments have continuously dragged the past into the future. I want to paraphrase that. I think we have dragged Bahamians, the state has dragged Bahamians into a future that the state can barely navigate, mm-hmm. barely understands, and that the collective does not understand, right? And I think that has been our issue. We have dragged people into a space and expected them to operate on their own without any assistance to understand the space, mm-hmm. to understand the global developments, and then to understand their place in this new world, and then to be able to figure it out all on their own. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been our biggest issue mm-hmm. within the, the culture of more dollars and cents.
All right. So what are you saying? Because you said we need, before we get to the discussion
right.
of where we want to be, we need to think about that.
Right.
So what are you saying? We need to address all of that right now
right.
before we do this?
Yeah.
Or should we plan out the path for the next 50 years and also at the same time figure out how we are going to socially make sure that everybody is in the right space to handle this journey that we're going to go on?
Well,
because if we try to fix the thing that you're talking about,
right.
that may take another 50 years.
But the plan, a part of the plan is how do we bring all of
right.
these people along with
so
us?
That
and
has
that's
to be
the
part
second
of it.
Part.
Yes,
right, that
has
to
be part of it.
Right.
But you can't fix that only without by and ignore the plan, the need for a plan.
But I think by as we begin making the plan, we have to understand that every element of the plan must take into account every
yes.
Bahamian.
Indeed.
No matter how we classify them. But let's just pause for a sec. I got a caller.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great. Call to answer the trivia?
Yes, ma'am.
The Long Island Sheep Runner.
Yeah, that's one.
And New Providence Buccaneer.
Yes, that's two.
And
No, don't you only have to name two to win?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way other
okay.
people could also call in and answer the question.
Okay.
They just
beautiful.
They need to know that Long Island Sheep Runners and New Providence Buccaneers are off the list.
Yes, and they know Long Island Sheep Runners are going to win.
That's what we heard. That's what we heard.
Aye for that.
Yes, ma'am. Plus, Sawyer Boy is in the house, so, you know, Guardian got to put in a little plug for the Long Island Sheep Runners.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for calling. You gave the producer your cell phone number, right?
No, not as yet, ma'am.
Okay. Producer, please take that call and get their cell phone number. Just hold the line. Thank you so much. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Call from yesterday. I have the universities. We have to draft a letter so that they can come and practice installing some panels down here for us for free. But I'll get that information to you if you work on that privately.
Okay.
The other thing is, let's fix the busing system here first before we go fix anything else anywhere else, even before we try to build another place anywhere else. Could we just get the busing system right here for Independence? Why don't we just work on one thing, the busing system, so that the rat race, we take all that racing out of it and leaving people behind, and people can't get on the bus because the guy wants to turn around because he's running empty. Could we just work on that one thing, and then we could go all over the place and fix everything else?
I got you. I appreciate the position.
Let's get the busing system working, and then we could prove that we could migrate somewhere else and get something else working. But we can't even get the busing system working.
Let's expand it beyond the busing system. What we're talking about is equal and equitable participation in commerce, right? And state systems. And some people are disadvantaged because they don't have the same ease of mobility that other people have.
Okay.
Right? Let's expand it. Because
yeah,
the same
the tribal,
thing... Go on.
No, this tribal environment, we have to fix that.
Yeah.
You see, this is the first thing we got to... I mean, you could bring something, bring a system in, but what you're doing is you have this tribal environment that it ain't going to work because we're going to revert right back to tribalism. This is our nature.
So it requires cultural shifts.
Right. Let's get that done first. Let's find out who we are. Who is a Bahamian? And let's go from there.
All right.
Get the busing system.
Thank you.
Who's a Bahamian?
Okay. Thank you. I see. I'll expand it beyond just the busing system because the busing system is New Providence-centric.
Mm.
Now, let's talk about what's at the root of that, though, right? Which is... Like I said, I call it equal and equitable access. What about the Family Islanders? Their ability to travel is hampered by costs.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a quick trip to Nassau to pick up a part or to go to a meeting or to an audition or a job interview. You got to buy ticket. You got to buy plane ticket. You got to do all kind of thing or be prepared to spend, if you're coming from the Southern Islands, 2 days, 3 days on a mailboat. Just to come to New Providence?
What are two islands that are next to each other? Like Long Island and, Cat Island, they're pretty close,
yeah.
right? But in order to get to...
You have to go to Nassau.
You have to go to Nassau to get to that
right.
island that you could basically see.
Right.
Does this make sense to us?
Exactly. That's why I wanted the caller to expand that premise.
Yeah.
Because it's true, but if
Long
we only...
Long Island and Exuma. Let's say Long
yeah,
Island.
Yeah, but if we're only Nassau-centric, we only see the public transportation element. which is also real, right? Mm-hmm. I agree. That's one of the fundamental things that we need to deal with. And then we'll see how we benefit from that, how people benefit from that. Because I'll tell you what, you cannot be a man in this town without your own vehicle. You can't do the thing that grown adult men, the things that they do, if you don't have your own vehicle. You can't take a woman out on a date and ensure that she gets home safely without your own personal vehicle. Mm-hmm. You can't move around in the night and go out and socialize if you don't have your own personal
vehicle. It's hard to be an adult of any kind, man or
woman. Yeah, right. But let's just start there.
You're trying to make a specific point. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But mm-hmm. I with you.
Right.
It's even more dangerous for a woman trying to navigate the Bahamas without a car, mm-hmm. right? And so this idea that, you know, you ain't need no car. We have attached.
As soon as dark fall, you can need a car.
That's what I'm saying.
In this town, you can need a car as dark fall. This ain't an island. This is still an island.
Yeah.
This isn't the island.
You can't be an adult.
But first thing in the morning, too.
You can't do my job.
You got to be here. How will you get without a car? Not going to happen.
Right? And so people are automatically disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. They don't get to participate in the same way. And it's something that's small. It's something that seems small. Right?
And apparently if it rains, you better have your own car.
I hope that somebody out there who really has a good business acumen is listening.
Yeah.
That a 24-hour ride share, mm-hmm. something along those lines.
Right.
Something that's riding on a
particular route. Right, that's another element, right?
Right. You know, this is indeed a...
But you see, this all comes back to the same thing. This is what the caller was saying, we need, why not do that first? But I keep telling people on my show that it's not going to happen. As long as central government is involved, the same thing with the ride share. They've tried this before, but the government steps in because the taxi drivers complain, and they have to step in and say, well, you all have to have the same prices. So you essentially are forced to become a taxi. As long as they are involved,
and that's sad.
You will not have the bus system.
That's okay.
They've tried this before, but it keeps failing, right? Why does it keep failing? Central government can't do this. This needs to be a local thing. And as long as they keep trying, it'll never happen. They need to be removed from this entirely.
I agree.
Entirely.
It should be private sector.
And they're not willing
sector.
To do this. Or PPP, right?
No.
I mean, I don't know about private sector. That's what we're doing. That's what we do right now with buses.
All the government needs to do is establish actual regulations and ensure that they are enforced. Right?
Establish an authority, then all these folks can come together as one authority and see themselves as one entity. Right now, there are 100 different entities, and they're all competing against each other. It can't
work.
But
see, I'll take you right back. It comes to culture and shifting mm-hmm. the culture and a sense of self, mm-hmm. right? Because we have more dollars than cents. Mm-hmm. On the way
here, the culture is encouraged and fostered by central government.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you do?
I'm great. Good morning, Dwight, and the next gentleman inside the studio.
Mr. Sawyer.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Morning,
So you have a lot of persons right now, as I speak, I hope I pronounced the word right.
You pronounce it wrong because nobody's licensed to do Uber in the Bahamas, but I know what you're talking about.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, it isn't licensed, and it isn't whatever, okay? But let's be realistic. If a person is out stranded in the night, right?
Uh-huh.
And especially a female, let's be real now. I'm sure she can cause some sort of male or even just call the police station. Tell them you're stranded, you're a female, I need a ride.
Okay then.
The police station.
All right? That can happen. And mind me, listen to me. Let me say something.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Females are a little bit more chancier in the night, from my experience, than some men. Because you got to be very vigilant. You're talking about the night. You got to be vigilant in the day. You know, but the night, people never take you out your car in the day. Or the night, more or less. But at the end of the day, we are coming into 50 years as y'all being talk show hosts. And you know, y'all, you know, sometimes you'll bring it to some people, maybe might bring the truth. Sometimes people might say you might be biased. But you know what I want to be appreciated for today, Aaron?
Uh-huh.
That God has given me breath and he's given me life. And we have to be very grateful of that, Bahamian people. I don't care what your status or not your status, your state is in this country. You have to be grateful.
Man, do it.
Life itself.
Do it.
You all have a blessed, safe, and a good holiday, you and Dwight and the gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I appreciate it. I appreciate that positive message of gratitude. Okay, very grateful. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? 2, 3. All right. I'm appreciative of that message.
Yeah.
Right? There is a lot to be grateful for. But I'm going to be honest with you. We have more dollars than cents. And at this point, we need to stop and reflect and have a critical interrogation of what's happening and what's gone wrong. Because nobody could sit here and say that we are doing the best that we can possibly do. Nobody could sit here and say that we're putting in 1,000% effort. Nobody. And we need to start being real with ourselves, and we need to start being real with each other about what it is we're doing in this town. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Aaron, and morning to Dwight. You know, Dwight is one of my favorite talk show hosts.
That's why I had him on for you this morning.
I listened to you.
No, man, morning. Don't watch nothing.
I called you a couple times. But, you know, what did Dwight say this morning? That make Andres the capital. We can't get the roadworks get do properly out here. All these potholes been about 3 weeks and things.
Mm-hmm.
And you talking about go somewhere else, and we can't get the simple thing straight here. I don't know how that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Then another point, I didn't have too much respect for the lady, the road traffic. But when she put the taxi them in line by giving out more plates and said that they've been renting and leasing taxi, that was against the law. And that problem been going on for a little while until she came in and she saw that out.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it for that. Now, the bus system, there are certain things the government have to do, and I think that is one of them. The government have to run the bus system. If I got 10 plates and Dwight got 10, Dwight ain't say I won't go out late. He ain't going to go out late because he concerned he no money making there, so he ain't going that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the problem with the bus system. I know the taxi could have been easily sorted out, but the bus system... Boy, I think Mr. Government got to take that one over. And again, I'll leave you with this. See all the road work we got it done? I always say, why the Ministry of Works do not buy about three of the paving machine and hire two more set of crews to do the pave of this country? One machine ain't gonna do it. You know?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. In fact, every time... Over the last 3 weeks, every time I hear this, they only have one machine. I want to tell y'all. I want y'all to understand. I feel like I could eat a whole coconut tree. That's how angry I am when I hear that. In 2023, they only have one machine.
And that could provide jobs for another two crews. And they could, you know, one out east, one west, one in central.
Y'all even talk about the family islands yet?
Yeah, right. Not only that, when they... If one day get things level, yeah, they could send a crew to the family island.
I got you.
You know, we there's a lot of things we could do differently than how we does it. And then another thing, too, when you have these downpour in the areas, they could, get a pump truck, you know, with them.
Yeah, and capture the water and clean it for agricultural purposes.
And dump it somewhere instead of leaving it there for days and days, and you can't see the porthole and things. But a lot of things I could say, but, you know, nice to listen to.
No, man, write them down. Write them down. Create a list. No, let me tell you why.
Right, start and create a list.
Yes, but let me tell you why. Because they're advocates.
Man, we ain't running this country.
I got his
right
answer
now.
Right now.
All right.
I got his answer right now.
There you go. Listen to this caller. Thank you so much.
All right. Can I just say, just to be clear, I didn't say we should move the capital to Andros. Right?
Yeah.
We're talking about whether we should consider moving the capital.
Yeah.
And we read from what Alfred Sears was saying many years ago about he proposed Andrus. I actually don't think Andrus.
Yeah,
would be Andrus the best
is. Andrus is a difficult choice because Andrus is an ecological wonder for the world, not just the Bahamas, the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sawyer?
Let me tell you how we could get three machines. Let me tell you how we could fix these portals, get us as a pumping machine. We need to stop with the whole, I've been away for 4 days to the United States. I have 6 bags and I spent $500. I spent $499. Here's my Walmart receipt. Here's my Dollar Shop receipt.
Yeah.
We need to stop lying and pay our taxes. And then once the taxes are paid, if we can do it properly as a Bahamian people, no matter who's in power, whether it's yellow or red, no matter who's in power, use the taxes properly for proper infrastructure for your citizens. Because all MPs were elected by the people. You work for the people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what is said elsewhere. I don't care how you feel about the situation.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
Sense of place, right? As a citizen, do you understand your sense? Do you understand your place in the system? Do you understand how important you are, your function is, why you are required to make this place work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that, you know, that many of us have no real sense of place here, right? People are desperately searching for spaces that they can plug into,
mm-hmm.
that they can belong to, that they can flourish in. And they are being rejected, right? They feel like they don't belong. And in many cases, they are being shown, you don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
This place is not for you. And so they don't want to pay taxes.
Exactly.
Because they don't feel like they belong. They don't feel like the taxes are being spent on them, right? But that's the cultural part that has to come into play simultaneously
mm-hmm.
with the work. I want to say, to add to this.
Also, what he said also about the bus system in the evenings.
Yeah.
If anything, that's where the government should take over. You could have yourself a driver. He could be an off-duty police officer, or you have an off-duty police officer riding in the bus with you at all time, because, you know, at night crime is definitely higher.
Yeah.
You know? Riding around certain routes, certain areas. Even if you could just get a ride to a particular meeting spot, whether it's a police station that you mm-hmm. come to and say that the bus is going to take get XYZ, because, you know, hotel work is indeed still shift work, and you have all kind of other jobs nowadays that are shift oriented.
Right. I mean, this is
the 21st century. So you put 4 buses in the east, 4 in the west, 4 in the north, 4 in the south. That's going to ride around between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Yeah, because listen, and the point is that we have been claiming we've been the tourist mecca of the world for decades, but you don't have systems
nothing
that accommodate
dark.
The people who work after dark?
Nothing after dark.
In a tourism center?
Oh, no, man, you're supposed to go to the bank, sign over your whole life for a car that is really worth about $3,000, but the bank gave it to you for $10,000, and you got to still pay back $18,000.
Listen.
Is it?
And most people, they don't need a car. They don't need the expenses of a car.
They just need a.
They don't need the risk. They don't need to take on the risk of driving a car.
They just get a vehicle.
They just need mobility. They need to move freely, like a
lights, rims, tints, big music set.
But I get more. I don't want to say inflammatory, but I think it may inflame some people when I say it. For decades, we have been spending money intended for collective national development on personal disposable experiences. I will say that it started in the drug era. I would say that it is the greatest legacy of the drug era, is that we have persistently invested money. We don't have any proper museums.
They opened one, I think, last night or the night before. They opened up a Junkanoo Museum.
You mean on the port?
On the port, yeah.
Don't get us started.
I think that's the best thing that they got right now.
Hold on, the National Junkanoo Museum on the port.
I think that's the best thing that they have right now.
Right, pause. Please stick it right there.
Oh, boy.
Right? In 2014, I went on a trip. I got you. Let's pause for a second. Caller, you're on the clock. Sorry about that.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning. Yes. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, Aaron, you hold me along, but that's all right. Listen, Aaron, you know what the reserve police who worked the detention center during the hurricane at the 70s and vendors on on Wood Food. You know, they still haven't been paid.
No.
And the sad thing is, you know, Mr. Monco was their lawyer. Mm-hmm. Mr. Monroe was their lawyer trying to get their money before he became cabinet minister. You know, but, you know, they called all sort of retired policemen and senior police who retired. They came back, they're getting paid. But yet, you know, these reserves who work the detention center for that long period of time still have not been paid. And some of them are, you know, are very sick now.
Yeah.
You know, now Mr. Monroe is the minister. He can make it happen. So between him and the new commissioner, the reserve who work the detention center, they need to be paid. So Manuel interviewed Mr. Monroe again, asking what happened to the reserves have not been paid. And he was the lawyer for them.
Thank you.
Please make it right, you know?
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much, caller. See what he said? I've offered serious this. The Royal Bahamas Police Force, I give them very heavy critique, but I also support them greatly, right? They are under-resourced, they're undermanned, they're under-trained, right? They're overwhelmed. Bang. Mm-hmm. The police have been on a go-slow for the last 30 years minimum. Mm-hmm. I throwing that out there. The police have been on a go-slow for the last 30 years.
What does that mean?
It means that's like a form of protest. It's, you don't go to officials.
I get that,
right.
But what do you mean they've been?
What I mean is this, yeah, is that this I have read, let me put it to me, maybe I'm the only person reading. I used to read The Punch when The Punch existed. And every week in The Punch, there was a story about the police on go slow because they are upset at the lack of response to a labor, an industrial matter. And then I realized that I have not actually seen any of these matters resolved. And then I realized that over the last 30 years, officers have come into the force, seen the culture, not realized that this isn't the normal police function. These by them in protest mode. And they've been in protest mode for the last 30 years. And so the new officers are operating in a culture that they think is just how police are supposed to operate, not realizing that because of situations like this where reserve officers allegedly, because I trust you, caller, but for the sake of the legal team, allegedly officers have not been paid in years, matters like that, that they want to go slow. The new officers don't realize that they want to go slow. This ain't how you supposed to.
How would it look if they weren't on a go slow? I mean,
How would it look?
Yeah.
I
don't know if I'd recognize it.
I can tell you.
They're relegated to being lifelong constables, maybe a corporal after 20 years, 25 years.
I came up Sands Road today.
Because You can't advance. I came up Elizabeth Avenue
to go to Sands Road to go to cut to East Street, right? As I'm coming up, there's a police car in front of me. The car's coming off of Sands Road, turning left onto Elizabeth Avenue. Not one of the three cars that we witnessed stop at the stop sign. Mm. Not one. Did the police stop? Did the police blow their horn? Not once. Mm. Police, I followed them, drove straight into the police barracks.
Yeah, because bad driving is the norm.
Let's go slow. Mm. Yeah. Right? Now, mind you, on Wednesday night, I watched police officers stop and warn a number of cars that decided to run the red light in front of the police.
50 new motorbikes are on the road now.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll cut down some of these traffic incidents and infractions.
And then I'm going to extend that, and I'm going to say that if we go into the civil service, we're going to find the same thing.
Oh, well, yeah.
That
made a whole song about it.
That would be
go like, stop. Go slow.
What we identify as lackadaisical and disrespectful and dysfunctional attitudes and behaviors in the civil service and in these other agencies are actually the result of long-rooted informal protests that have never been threshed out and formally articulated to the new staff coming in to that work culture.
Okay.
Because we don't have a sense of place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to offer this as well. We have short memories. We don't remember nothing that happened. Mm-hmm. People barely remember the 2018 BPL fire. People barely remember the year of 2013. Yeah. Y'all remember the year 2013 where anybody had in their house get burned up by surges and power outages. Mm-hmm. People barely remember that.
That wasn't last year?
because of last year, you don't remember 2013.
Yeah, 2013, yeah.
Right?
You had a rolling blackouts. Remember that? Remember that was a joke?
Yeah, yeah. On the spot. I mean, every summer, BPL was starring at the spot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
We used to turn off the lights in the Dundas and say, oh, there goes another black.
You know what BC mean? Buy everybody candles.
Mm-hmm. So, does this mean that we cannot look to the future, what we want to see this country in 50 years?
Until we establish a real sense of place.
And accountability.
Until we know where we are, then we don't know what we're looking at.
We don't know
where we are in relation to it. And so what are we planning?
We have a first world mindset, but we don't want to have the first world work ethic to get there.
Right. We want to experience those things. We have no idea how to experience them.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody wears a seatbelt downtown. As soon as you pass Elizabeth Avenue,
seatbelt off.
Seatbelt off.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
But okay.
Now my seatbelt have a lock button.
But what's that about?
It's because downtown, for sure, you're going to get booked for not having a seatbelt. But anywhere else, I can just drive freely.
That's what it means.
I have time.
Can't blame anybody for that.
If you leave out a rental car lot.
I tell you what that is.
If you leave out a rental car lot in the United States, boy, before you start the car, you put on your seatbelt.
Because that's the rule. The law is, before you start the car,
you put on
the seatbelt.
I feel naked if I don't have my seatbelt on in a parking lot before I even get on the road.
This is a you issue,
right? I mean, no.
It is a you issue. But have you not noticed that that the majority of the yous have it?
Yeah,
it has become a collective thing.
Yeah.
And so I'll put it to you.
Don't mash up your clothes with the seatbelt. Mm.
But I'll put it to you that it's cultural.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a lack of respect for others, right? Why do you do good things? Why do you do good things? Do you do them because you fear God's wrath? Is that the only reason that you do good things? Because you fear that God is going to send you to hell because you didn't do good things? Or do you do good things because you are committed to ensuring the best life possible for the other people that share this world with you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see them as other people sharing the world, or do you see them as God's children, right? So I do good things because God has told me I must treat his children
well. It should be the latter, but you know, with the high increase, high volume of cars in the country now, anybody could get a license for the longest time. Speed is now a factor, because before, going at 40 miles an hour was considered clocking 25, 30 years ago. Nowadays, it's 40 miles an hour off the red light. All out. Like, you don't even have a chance to look left and look right once the light go green, because some twit behind you is going to go beep as soon as the light go beep. Like, what are you doing? Give me a chance to look left and look right, because, you know, in this country, we believe in running the amber light.
Yeah.
You know, give me a chance to see the person who really got to go where they got to go. You know, who really got to get out. They can't even wait another 90 seconds on their red light. They have to go. Okay, so let them go. And then now I can go. But as soon as the light go green, tweet, bam, get an accident. But the person can't drive now. Look at that. But you blew the horn. You scared the driver in the front of you to have to get out as quickly as possible. Me, personally, blow the horn behind me. I put my car in park.
Mm-hmm.
I in the front of you.
Right.
I put my car in park.
Spatial awareness and sense of place.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Give me a minute. Jeez.
I can say to you, you know, in Britain where they have engineers that develop things, the light has two yellow lights.
Mm.
You get a yellow light before it goes green because people are driving stick shifts. So it lets them know it's time for you to get in gear and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a yellow light when it's going, preparing to turn red,
mm-hmm.
which lets you know it's time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But this is what I'm saying. It's about a commitment to other people. I respect other people enough to follow the rules.
Correct.
I don't have to care about the police, you know. I'm not saying that. This is the 2 days before independence. Please care about the police.
No, the police are peacekeepers.
Right.
If I keep in the peace, I don't have no problem with them.
Right.
As well, I do in my
part. It has nothing to do with the police. It has, right? I respect other people. I understand how their lives could be detrimentally impacted if I am reckless on this road.
Correct.
Sense of place.
Yeah, this whole like, wait, listen, I gotta get to the corner first. I gotta get, because you know, I mean, right now we got a bunch of potholes. Let's just say what it is. Cars trying to get around the pothole. You trying to get to the spot first before the car get, because you can't wait, bruh. I can wait my turn. You wait yours. What happened? It's a pothole in the road. This is something that you didn't create. I didn't create. It's just here now. We have to deal with it as best as we can.
Right.
Come on.
All of us.
Yeah, all of us just got to deal with it, you know? Plus water right now.
But here's, here's the next thing, Eric.
Well, last July.
I get on the road, you know it's potholes. You get on the road, you know it's potholes. You want me to accommodate you.
Yeah.
But I need you to accommodate me by driving at a speed that allows you to navigate the potholes. Mm. And maybe putting your phone down. Because somebody could say, man, I didn't see the pothole there. You didn't see it because you were in your phone.
You're using your phone, yeah.
Right? And so the conversation, Mr. Sawyer, sort of started in response to Mr. Strawn's show today, where they, in the independence discussion, they were considering whether we should move the Capitol. And what I wanted to posit was that before we have any of those discussions, there are a couple of things we need to discuss. The first is, how do we approach, or maybe you start here, do we have a culture that is more dollars than cents? Do we have more dollars than cents? The second, have we been spending money intended for collective development on disposable personal experiences? And the third is, are we bound by our geography? Are we, because we don't have a sense of place, we don't understand that our culture is dictated by where we are, and the culture of these islands, like the hurricane zone, mm-hmm. the shallow waters, things get washed away every season. Our memories are short. We have an expectation of longevity and a natural longevity and entrenchment of ideas and sentiments, not realizing that this place doesn't operate that way. Trees get washed away in storms, trees that are 30, 40 years old that you thought would never move, one storm could pick it up. And that without consistent work and effort to entrench what is important in the place and in the hearts of the people, these things that we demand of them, the demands are foolish because we cannot expect what we cannot expect to produce what we have not sown. Right?
Yeah, good. We can't expect it, but we do.
Right, but we have not done the work of entrenching those things that are required for a nation in a place where everything gets washed away. Everything gets blown over.
We believe in slackness in this country.
Loose like a goose.
Once I got my people in place, once I got my job, once I got my car, once I could get to the pothole before you, once I could jump the line in the food store, even going around a roundabout, some cars like to come around and try to overtake and scoops in the line before you. You was 8 car back. Why is it that your destination, you know, is so much more important than mine? You know, a lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine.
Right.
That's not my problem. Take your time, get dressed on time, sacrifice, go to sleep on time. Wake up with ample time to get where you have to go.
Now, at the same time, though, Sawyer.
Yeah?
I can put myself, because I'm in that position right there, right? I'll say that. But then I have to remember, like, where I live, in Johnson Road, I live in what is considered a very bougie and a high-end part of Johnson Road. But less than 100 yards from me are people who still go into the pump for water. Mm. And so I acknowledge their day has to start far earlier than my day. They don't have the same amount of time. Mm. And so there are some accommodations that we have to make for each other. But don't expect me, right? This is it, the point that you're making. You in a rush. I'm following the rules. You buck into my car. And you can row me because I didn't know you were in a rush and then I should have just accommodated you.
Exactly.
And then you can hit my car and then tell me, well, miss, you could afford to fix your own car.
Wow. Don't forget the whole throw the keys at you and say, oh, but this your car. I'm driving this car. This car is mashed up now.
Yeah.
You hit my car. You're in the wrong. I read the rule book thoroughly. I actually studied for my driver's license.
And so it's about...
Somebody did that before?
Yeah, that's a big deal. Wow. Yeah, people jump out the car. Cha-cha, I need a new car. I can't drive this. This is all mashed up now. But you jump out the corner. Nice. You didn't turn on your signal. Like, people wait until they're on top of the corner to try to turn on the signal real quick.
Okay, I can tell the police the signal fall off. The signal drop off in the pothole, sir. I don't know where the signal went. But,
Oh, sorry. I just got a message. Good morning, Amber. Amber J., owner and proprietor of Johnny's Restaurant and Bar. She's listening very well. Very good friend of mine.
Good morning.
You know, she's listening very. I have to invite you to.
Yes, please.
Yeah. The food is great.
Yeah.
Your food is excellent.
Okay. Listen, we are all out of time. I got a new producer on the board. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and read through these texts as she chooses one of the songs from the playlist to take us out with.
We didn't even get to know sports.
Aaron, Grand Bahama, New Providence. Bahamas Kings. Text, I'm going to take down your number. On another set of texts here.
Yeah, Bahamas. I ain't going out there this weekend, though.
A possible future of the Bahamas.
Basketball, especially.
You ain't going to the Nationals?
No.
The Nationals end today.
Yeah. No, this week has been hell on earth for me.
Dead Texas.
I didn't get the Bahamas games.
Look here, Dead Texas. I'm going to see what I could do with Mr. C.A. Nuri's show if I get some of these texts in because they are excellent. I'm going to include them in the Independence Papers as we continue our Independence.
Nice clothes, though.
Thank you.
That's a very nice getup. You have one shirt. And
Bahama games.
Yeah, Bahamas games.
I'm going to Rowing.
Yeah, you know, you have one, yeah.
I'm competing in the Rowan exhibition.
Yeah. You. Boy, you look good, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah, boy.
I'm trying to get him to row with me. He wouldn't row with
no,
me.
I row with you. No.
I need practice. So, guys, remember, your duty this weekend, you've got to attend the closing of the Nationals, and you've got to prepare yourself for the Bahama Games. The opening is on the 8th. Competition begins today. Go to the NSA, the Nassau National Sporting Authority, the complex. Go check out as many games as possible. Shawnee Miller-Weibo is leading, I think, in the heptathlon.
Yeah, she's back.
Who would have thought the heptathlon?
She's back. Yeah, you got to
start. Steven Gardner won the 400
already.
Last night.
Yeah. Way to go.
All right.
Way to go. Wait till I win Rowan at the Bahama Games for the.
Yeah, a lot of competition. A bunch of people.
Look, I'd be
thousands,
on the show every day training.
Rowing,
I'd be on the show every day
champions.
Training. Yeah. Anyway, Bahamas. Happy Independence.
Happy Independence. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend.
Elkin 360, thank you.
Yeah, that's the boss.
Buddy, you brought it to Independence this year. You made it a golden jubilee.
Song of the year.
Yeah, man. We thank you very, very much. And to all of the Bahamians who contributed. Because he wouldn't have been able to do it without the energy that y'all put out there. Mm. It's an inclusive thing.
That's
how we build this
song,
country.
Boy. That's a great Bahamian
inclusivity.
Song, yeah.
And remember, teach your children. More dollars and cents is not something to follow. Just because it makes dollars, don't mean it makes sense. Have a great day, Bahamas Guardian Radio. AM with C.A. Cool. Nuri is up next.
Bye, Aaron.
Exmoor is made up with his mainland and keys. And still all these, there's no place like this. You've been here 3 times, you're coming again. Oh, cause we don't know, say you find a friend. Yeah, them all know.